Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Innovative Teaching Podcast. I am your host, Jeanette Schaefer. This podcast is all about getting you to think outside the box when it comes to teaching and learning. Today we have a special guest. We have Stephen Crawford. He works at the Maricopa Center for Learning and Innovation. And we've just been discussing, we're seeing a lot of ways that people are interacting during this COVID-19 virus. And we want to just share out, not only academically or instructionally, but just around the world, what we see people are doing. Because during the social distancing, a lot of people are sitting at home, they're feeling disconnected, but businesses, entrepreneurs, they're all being innovative in how to keep us feeling connected. So Stephen, I'll turn it over to you, and you can go ahead and start with one of the ideas that we've been talking about and that you've seen that you like.
Well, Jeanette, thank you for having me. Longtime listener, first time caller. And just wanted to say thank you for doing this podcast. And I hope everyone who's listening is at home, healthy and safe, and more importantly, staying home as much as possible. So, you know, one of the things I think it's kind of interesting to mention is that during this pandemic, the World Health Organization tried to change the term from social distancing to physical distancing. None of us got the memo, and it's a hard switch to make at this point because we don't want to become socially isolated. We just want to be physically apart from each other. And so some of the cool things that I'm seeing people do with these video conferencing technologies is interacting more with people. And while this may be a little bit harder to do in the classroom, I'm seeing people use video conferencing to play games. They're playing board games, and there may be an opportunity to do some sort of educational game in the classroom where students get to interact with each other, and it becomes almost more social, a social learning opportunity.
Yeah, I know. I had a student once in class where they get to work on a passion project, and she was into the dragons and dungeons. So she had created a whole website and tracking. I don't play, so I don't understand the game.
We can tell because it's actually Dungeons then Dragons. It's Dungeons and Dragons.
See, there you go. That's what I said. I don't play. But her project, she was doing something similar where the people she was playing with was not physically with her, and she would make some of the moves for them, but yet keep track of everything. And she had a website where she was keeping it all up. So yeah, I don't understand the game, but she had fun with the project, and yeah, her friends appreciated it.
Yeah, and I think that's a really neat way to approach things, because I know that there are people now having discussions of which board games lend themselves the best to video conferencing and how do we do this. But that then brings, again, back to the social side. I've seen in a faculty meeting of all places where they were playing Pictionary in the web conferencing tool. So I could see an opportunity where, say, in a classroom, you've got a faculty member who splits the class into two teams, and they appoint or somehow choose two students to be captains, one for each team. And they then say, you know, here's the list of terms for the class. You've got to draw it out and see if the team can figure out what you're drawing. And that way the faculty member can sit there with the stopwatch and they can time how long it takes for that person to draw out that item and then how long it takes the team to do it. And after a couple of rounds, you end the game and whoever has the least amount accumulated time is the winner. So that could be a neat way to kind of bring some learning concepts into the classroom while bringing some fun into it and some interaction and getting just people excited about learning.
Yes, I was in a webinar the other day. They had us do the word of the day for us. So at that moment, how are we feeling and what's the word of the day? And the way we made that somewhat interactive is each one of us had to write our word down on a sheet of paper or, you know, type it on a device. And then we held it up to the camera so that we could all see each other's word. So it's just another way to make sure everyone's awake, right? They're participating, they're listening. But you could see how everybody was feeling based on the word that they shared at the end of that webinar. So I thought that was pretty neat.
That is cool. I'd say another idea is maybe doing an AMA and ask me anything, or that way that, you know, the faculty member basically goes, okay, students, here's the topic. Stump me. Dare the students to ask a question that makes you scratch your head and go, wow, that's a little bit further than I realized that you guys had gotten. And of course, when you get stumped, see if another student actually knows the answer. So, I mean, there's some really neat ways to do this that kind of brings the humanity, the socialness back into these interactions without it being just that cold technology that we think of when we think of webinars and online learning and of the old days.
Yeah, we had another situation with our vice president, and he was trying to get a poll to work, and the poll would not pop up. It was responding slowly. So instead of relying on the technology, we just held our hands up, and we were voting on how long of a break did we want to take, because it was kind of a long meeting, and he wanted us to have a little bit of a break. So everybody voted on how many minutes, up to 5 minutes, do you want the break to be? So everyone just took their hand, held it up, you know, you held up 5 fingers, 4 fingers, you know, whatever. And then just did a quick calculation on, okay, we're taking a 3 minute break. So take a break and then come back.
And that's a great idea, because a lot of these times we put the our webinar tools or our video conferencing tools into Brady Bunch mode, where we just see a patchwork of a bunch of people on the screen. And that's a really neat way to kind of just scan the audience and get that answer. And yes, a lot of these tools have the poll built in, but sometimes you have to do them ahead of time. But yeah, don't let the technology get in the way. Just go simple and get people involved. I think as someone who's done a lot of webinars over the years, it's important to make sure that you have a good mic and that you're showing the emotion and that you're in there, but take those breaks and get those interactions. Because if you don't, it's like, you know, it turns into the old Charlie Brown won't, 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 won't after a while. And
yes.
So those interactions are so important. And whether you do that through a game, some sort of, you know, or some sort of just be interactive, be social. And I think this is what we need to do. If we're going to use these technologies to reach our students with remote teaching, we need to make sure we bring the social back into this as well, because that social interaction in the classroom is very important. And a lot of it happened before and after class, and we need to provide for those opportunities as well.
I agree. Students can really feel isolated in the online environment if we don't engage them. Stephen, have you been in a session where they have you introduce your pet, your children? Have you done anything like that? Because I've been in one or two sessions, and that's made it feel a lot more personable because we all have something happening in the background. So it was really interesting and made you feel more comfortable when you could actually bring that distraction in and introduce them or share.
You know, we are all now that guy from the BBC a couple of years ago who had, during that discussion on some world political thing, had his kid creep into the room and the mom comes sliding in and then grabbing the kid and sliding out of the room. I mean, we're all now that person. So yeah, I mean, I've had some of my colleagues, they said, you know what, if I'm going to be sheltering in place, I've always wanted to adopt a dog. So let's do that now, because I'm going to be home for the next several weeks and kind of get them where they need to be. And so, yeah, I've seen the dog get brought up on camera. I've seen the kids in the background doing homework. I've heard the kids in the background doing homework or not doing homework. I mean, it is just, it's the natural thing right now. I mean, for me, I kind of hide what I'm doing because I have a curtain behind me, a backdrop. I have some studio lighting because I do some of my own home type of video work. So for me, it's like I'm this big floating head in a big black studio is what it looks like. But behind the curtain is a mess of running medals and running gear and stuff. And so, I don't have that. I'd love to have a backdrop of books behind me, but I don't have anything that neat, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I know my studio, it varies. Like my studio right now, I'm in a downstairs basement bedroom. But I know when I do the traditional podcast, I'm in the walk-in closet. So it's like my studio actually shifts and changes. Even my equipment changes, because now I'm recording off of a laptop, where the podcast in the morning, I record off my iPad. So I go a little, I'll say more low-tech, because I don't have the nice equipment that you have or set up like an actual studio. But I've always been about being mobile. Like I want my studio mobile because I do a lot of YouTube. I like to travel. So I've always went the mobile route and not more the stationary route.
Yeah, and I've got a little bit of both, and right now I got a lot of my mobile gear actually making it look a lot nicer than what it normally is. But I tell you, our students at the same time don't, a lot of times they just have a single device and it's their phone. And so we have to be mindful of that, because if they're doing everything off their phone, off of their data plan, because they don't have internet access because they were relying on our libraries, both public and the college, you know, these are, we got to make sure we do that. So as we do a lot of this remote teaching and keeping these interactions, these high bandwidth, high immediacy type of interactions are great, but they come at a price. And so that's something to keep in mind about. And we could probably do a whole podcast series beyond this episode today on just how to go low bandwidth and how to help our students in that role.
Yes, definitely. So you mentioned students working off their own devices, and we talked about that the instructional uses and how we're seeing the interactivity that way. But what about the outside world? What's some of the innovative interactivity happening with, let's say, like concerts? Because I know that's one we kind of talked about before. They're getting really creative on how they're delivering concerts now, because all face-to-face concerts have been canceled.
Yeah, St. Patrick's Day was a wonderful day. And I know a lot of people are going, but wait a minute, isn't that when everything started? And the answer is yes, it was beautiful, because the Dropkick Murphys realized that their annual concert at home in Boston wasn't going to happen. And they made a joke, we're going to do this anyway, even if we have to do the concert on our iPhones on Facebook Live. And that's what they were going to do. They were going to go into one of their backyards. They were going to play on the concert with the iPhone camera, picking up the audio and the video and put it on Facebook Live. And then corporate sponsorship kicked in, and they ended up using their studio that they were rehearsing in, and they ended up having one of the largest concerts on the internet, with millions of views around the world. And it just became a huge thing on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all the platforms. And it was spectacular. And it was a 2-hour concert that they played to the camera. And so you're seeing now a lot of people, a lot of bands. In fact, I have a friend of mine, I was talking to them, how could you do this with your band members either all in one place or scattered at their homes? What are some of the options? And a lot of people are using video conferencing. We're seeing these watch parties now start up, where Facebook and Netflix is making it possible that you can get a bunch of friends to all watch the same thing at once. I mean, what a concept. We used to do this, years ago with network television, where if you didn't watch that one episode when it aired, you never saw it. You know, there were no VCRs, there was no DVRs. And so now people are having watch parties and they're watching movies together apart. And so it's kind of cool to see these things happening now.
Well, and it's funny because a lot of this is just happening now, but believe it or not, and I think I read an article today how the old technology is all of a sudden new technology again. So when you mention the watch parties, it's like the YouTube Live and the Periscope. I remember Periscope was one of the first technologies where they started live concerts, or at least one of the first ones I experienced a live concert. And I don't know how long Periscope's been around, but it seems like that's
Periscope's dead, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's been around long enough to be killed.
Yeah, exactly. But I remember watching live concerts with that many, many years ago. But yet now with everything that's happening, there's more and more people offering the opportunity.
And that's where the platform Twitch comes to mind. Twitch has been around for a long time, and gamers know this one because gamers have been using this for years to live stream what they're doing. And they're some of the best music performances I've seen prior to Dropkick Murphys and all these corporate things. But if you look at the amateur side, they use Twitch. And so there's, I remember this one woman, she'll play her piano and she takes donations. And if you drop a donation and they have a little jar that's a virtual jar, you drop a donation and a song request, she'll shift from maybe playing something from Led Zeppelin on the piano to Beethoven. And then next thing you know, she's switching over to Alanis Morissette. Just depends on what donations come in and when. She has this repertoire that she can switch between songs like nobody's business. And you're seeing that with a number of musicians who've been doing that for years. And now it's becoming a big thing.
That reminds me a little bit of the Dole pianist bars.
Yes.
You know, where you go out and put money in their jar and then they'll kind of battle or yeah, switch the songs.
I think a lot
up.
Of these artists are now starting on Twitch before they actually get that gig, or they're doing the Twitch between gigs.
Yeah, and that makes sense. Since this is a longer podcast, I've decided to split it into two episodes. So please join us tomorrow for the second part of this interview and discussion with Stephen Crawford. Thank you, and we will see you tomorrow. Bye.